We were looking at Ecclesiastes earlier this year. If you remember, we were doing a one-week session on the wisdom literature, and Ecclesiastes was part of that. And we're dipping back into it again this evening. And you may remember, if you were with us for that particular occasion, that this book was written by somebody known as the Teacher, and he was trying to understand the purpose of life, or even whether there was actually any purpose in life at all. And after looking into it quite carefully, he clearly wasn't sure. But here, in this passage that Esme read, he's reflecting on the importance of not being alone, but having someone with whom you can share the opportunities and challenges of life. And he starts by thinking about a man who was driven with the desire to succeed, to make lots of money, to achieve something with his life. And it seemed like he was doing quite well. But however much wealth this man accumulated, he was doing it on his own. No partner to work with, no one to leave it to. And we get the picture of a man who spent all his time working without enjoying any of the things he could afford as the results of his labour. I know people who've lived like this. You probably do as well. Sometimes we might refer to such a person as a miser, who chooses to have no relationships, no friendships, but only a desire to accumulate as much as possible for himself. It's similar to the picture Dickens draws of Scrooge in A Christmas Carol. But sometimes this can happen through no fault of our own. It's not that we don't want friendships and relationships, but we find ourselves, for whatever reason, alone. And all we have left is our work and the things we can achieve through that, the things that we can earn. And for a time, we can find purpose and fulfillment in that. But this man suddenly realised that it was all pointless. Why was he expending all this time and effort when there was no one to share it with? Why didn't he rather enjoy himself while he was alive and able to do so? It's a commentary on what is important, on the real value of valuables compared to the value of relationships. And with those thoughts in his mind, the teacher goes on to reflect on the importance of companionship, the value of friendship. And that's what we're going to think about for a few moments this evening. And he pretty much sums up what he's going to say with the opening words of verse 9. Two are better than one. That's the basic point he's trying to get across. That for all parts of life, it is better to not be alone. And we need to recognise, and we need to be very much aware of, the fact that for some people, sometimes they can't have the relationships they want. Some people have experienced bereavements. Others have been orphaned. Others have been divorced. Others have lost their jobs. All of these and others provided opportunity for relationship, but they've been taken away. And it leaves holes that are difficult to fill. And it's important that we are aware of this. We are sensitive towards it. But we also need to ensure that we, as a community of God's people, are not willing for anyone to be alone if they don't want to be. That we need to be people who delight in the privilege of enabling one to become two, because that is better. And that relationship may take many different forms, may be based on many different things, but it is important that the relationship is available to those who need it. Do we know someone who seems to be alone? Are we prepared to come alongside them, to journey with them? And let's not just see this as something that would help somebody else, even though it would, but we would normally be enriched as we develop a closer relationship with another person. So, two are better than one, he says. And then he goes on to give some specific examples. And the first thing he talks about as he completes his sentence is people who seem to be working together, maybe in business together. Here there's a sharp contrast to the earlier person who was just working for his own benefit. Now there's the pleasure of working with someone else. The realization that your efforts are benefiting somebody else, not just you. And this is true in many aspects of life, including the work we are able to do for God as we seek to serve him. It's a great privilege to be involved in serving God, but it's always good when we're able to do this as part of a team, with others who have the same desire and goals, with others with whom we can share the challenges and the blessings that we experience as we try to follow where God leads us. Jesus himself was sent here by his Father for a particular purpose, and he chose not to conduct his ministry alone. But he gathered people around him with whom he could share what was going on, who he could mentor to carry on the work after he had returned to heaven. As we seek to serve God, let's involve others in what we are doing. Let's look for opportunities to get involved with what others are doing when that is appropriate. And then, having thought about people involved in business, he goes on to talk about three other examples, which may be related, which is why we're thinking about it this evening, may be related to people who've chosen to go on a journey together. Remember this idea of thinking about life as a journey? These people here seem to have decided to go on a journey. And the first thing he talks about is helping somebody who's fallen over, helping them to get up again. I'm sure many of us, when we've been out on a walk, have seen someone trip and fall down. Maybe someone who was in our group. Maybe somebody else. Maybe it was us as we fell, for whatever reason. And the natural inclination is to go up to that person to see if they're all right, to offer to help them up, to give them a hand, to ensure that they're sort of okay on their feet again, to help pick up anything they might have dropped. It's a good thing. It's a helpful thing to do. It shows that someone has noticed. It shows that someone cares. Shows that someone is prepared to help. And as we go through our journey of life, there are many things that can trip us up, that can cause us to fall down. Sometimes they're relatively trivial, and we get up and carry on as though nothing has happened. Sometimes they're more serious. And even though we can get up and carry on, we're a little shaky. A bit less confidence, maybe a bit more vulnerable than we normally would be. And sometimes those things can be so difficult that we just don't know how we're going to get up again. We don't know how we're going to carry on. And it is good if there is someone with us who notices, who cares, who can support us as we carry on, who can help us if we feel we can't do it alone. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. Are we those people who, when we see people struggling with the realities of life, prepared to go alongside and lift and support and encourage and help them get back on that journey, back on that path, moving forward with God? And then he goes on to speak about another benefit of being on a journey with someone, that when it's cold at night out in the deserts, don't forget this was written in a country that was normally very hot during the day and very cold at night. And so he's saying, if you're out on a journey and you finish your journey for the day and you're out in the desert and you get cold and you're trying to sleep, having someone next to you helps you to keep warm. Don't know what the safeguarding policy was, but I'm not suggesting we need to apply this literally, but we all know that the world in which we live can sometimes be a dark and cold place. And we can find ourselves emotionally exhausted and drained, with all sense of hope gone. And there is wonderful benefit when someone who may not be going through that problem at that time, who may be enjoying the wonders of life, can come alongside us and share something of their reality, of their warmth, their hope, their confidence, and maybe the times they went through something similar and have come through that and are rejoicing in God. And the final journeying example is that of being more able to protect yourself when you have someone with you. In the time Ecclesiastes was written, going on a journey could be dangerous. As you left the town and went out into the countryside, you could easily be attacked by robbers. We saw that a couple of weeks ago on Sunday morning when we were thinking about the story of the Good Samaritan. But having someone with you gave you twice the chance of defending yourself. It might even have caused robbers to think twice about attacking you. Often on our journey of life, we can be attacked in many different ways. Sometimes physically. I heard of somebody yesterday who'd been attacked physically and was trying to, you know, cope with that. Sometimes we can be attacked verbally. People say things to us or write things to us that are hurtful and painful and wound. Sometimes we can be attacked spiritually or mentally. And having someone with us to help us withstand or resist those attacks can make all the difference between defeating them or surrendering to them. That's what the teacher is trying to get across. That two is better than one. Someone can help you get up. Someone can help you stay warm. Someone can help you cope with the attacks of life. And he finishes this particular passage by speaking about the strength in a cord that is made up of three different pieces of rope. And if two is better than one, then surely three is going to be better. I know we sometimes say two is company and three is a crowd, but that's not the point here, okay? Three is good. We're called to be generous with our friendships and to seek to journey with lots of different people so that we can encourage and support each other. One interesting thing about these examples is that it isn't that one person is always helping the other, but that they are both there to support each other. One person might fall and need to be helped up. Another might be attacked and need defending. As we journey together, it is not that some of us have everything sorted and are able to come alongside everybody else and help them. It's rather that we all need help and support on different occasions. And on different occasions, we will be able to provide it to others. This is part of what living as community is really like. When we can come alongside and support. When we think about supporting someone and helping them to carry heavy burdens, we might be reminded of what Jesus says when recognising the weight that sometimes people are carrying. In Matthew 11, he extends this invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He's probably contrasting what he calls for from his followers with what the religious leaders of the day demanded from people. And he talks about this later in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 23. And he says, they tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. They expected an awful lot, but they left people to carry them on their own. So Jesus talks about his yoke being easy, his burden light. And there's a huge debate, well, quite a bit of a debate, over what Jesus means when it refers to yokes. Because in that time, there were two different yokes in use. One, the one used by people, was a sort of bar, a pole, a frame that went over your shoulders with chains or ropes hanging down on each side of it. So you could fasten heavy burdens, baskets, whatever, to each side of the yoke. And you could then pick it up and walk forward with the weight on your shoulders. It was designed to help making carry things easier. The other yoke was used by animals. And here, this was something that enabled two animals to be fastened together so that they could pull things that one of them couldn't pull on their own, a plough, a cart, something like that. We're not quite sure which one Jesus was referring to. But one of the things Jesus is saying is that, yes, he does ask things of his followers, and we can find lots of things where Jesus calls on his people to do certain things. But he says, the burdens he places on people are light and easy to carry. And if we're weary, we can come to him and find rest. He refers to the religious leaders not being willing to lift a finger. Whereas by implication, Jesus is willing. Jesus is prepared to come alongside and help. So both yoke pictures are helpful. As we think about journeying with Jesus and Jesus journeying with us, the burdens he asks us to carry are relatively light, and he helps us carry them as well. How does this extend to journeying with others? I think there are two applications here. One is, it's important to recognise when people are going through difficult times and already carrying heavy burdens. And that's not a good time to add unreasonable expectations on them, to add to what they're already carrying, but to try and lighten that load. And in that model, we come alongside them, we walk with them, we offer to help shoulder the burden and to carry it with them, until either the burden is reduced or until they're strengthened to a point where they want to carry on alone. One of the things we've been discussing here in the church over the last couple of years is how we, as church, can care for people who used to be referred to as vulnerable adults, but are now known as adults at risk. Those who, for whatever reason, are finding it difficult to cope with the challenges of life on their own. And one of the things we realised and had to work through was that each of us might be an adult at risk at different times. Someone who's normally fine, healthy and resilient might suddenly find that they are suffering from a serious illness, might suffer bereavement or so on. And for a time, and that time will vary with the situation and the individual, that person is more at risk of succumbing to attack, more prone to feeling sad, more aware of the problems of life. And we have the wonderful opportunity of coming alongside that person, showing them the love of Jesus, seeking the load they are having to carry, offering to carry it with them. This is an example of how we can follow the call of Jesus and journey with each other through the ups and downs of life. Are we willing to answer that call? To be those who have that burning desire to ensure that somebody is not left alone, but that somebody is there for them? Are we willing to follow that example that Jesus showed of helping to make burdens lighter, of coming alongside and sharing that load? Are we willing to be the companions we each need as we travel through life?